The following program is an exclusive sports presentation of News Talk 1400 and Light Rock 97.5 News Gazette media stations.
Now Brad Underwood says, let's go. Frazier dribbles, backs away with three, going to have to shoot it with two. A long, long three.
Oh! He got it! He got it! And that's going to end the half, and listen to the roar!
Fighting Illini game day is on the air. The countdown to tip-off is underway with the Rudy Wealth Management pregame show. Your first look and in-depth preview of today's contest here on News Talk 1400 and Light Rock 97.5, the flagship home for Fighting Illini basketball.
Behind the back dribble, Black, bank shot, go!
And they say the big guys can't dribble, right?
How did he do that? Jordan on the right wing, right corner, Finke puts it on the deck, drives in, slams it in! Finke slams it in! There's the Kenny Battle Drive!
Exactly!
Now, from our Illini Game Day studios in Champaign, here's your host, Scott Beatty.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into Fighting Illini Game Day and the Rudy Wealth Management pregame show, Big Ten Tournament Edition. The first round today as the Illini 13th seed in the Big Ten Tournament are taking on the Iowa Hawkeyes. The winner will play tomorrow against the Michigan Wolverines. I'm Scott Beatty alongside Lauren Tate. We will check in, with Deion Thomas in just a few minutes out in Madison Square Garden. Yeah, you heard that right. That's where the Big Ten Tournament is today. That's where the Illini are, the greatest arena in the world.
Greatest arena, and there's no reason to be negative. Iowa is beatable.
That's right. It's the Illini and Iowa squared off several weeks ago now. Let's see, going back to January 11th, that's more than several weeks.
Let's see.
The Iowa won that game.
Yeah, the teams have changed since then. Iowa was really bad back in, real early. They lost to Louisiana. They lost to South Dakota State, later on to Iowa State and Southern. They've lost some bad games, plus they've lost 14 games in the Big Ten, as has Illinois. And that game, you know, the Illinois-Iowa game was really two games. Illinois went out 49-29, had a 20-point lead, and then kind of started to blow up before halftime and just couldn't get straightened out in the second half and lost in overtime.
Iowa is coming off a win to conclude their regular season, a 77-70 win over the Northwestern Wildcats at home. That snapped a six-game losing streak for Iowa. They finish even with Illinois in the Big Ten Conference record, 4-14, Illinois 14-17 overall, Iowa 13-18. Iowa, though, because they beat Illinois, gets the higher seed against the Illini in this ball game, and the Illini have to keep winning to keep their season going, and of course would need a miracle, five wins in 5 days, to have any chance of playing in the NCAA tournament. But I think a success, Lauren, for Illinois here in New York City would be at least one win today and a competitive showing against Michigan tomorrow, and the rest would be gravy.
Well, we've seen Michigan knock off Illinois in this tournament 3 times in recent years. They're really tough. They seem to be playing good again at the end of the season. Illinois is playing better. I thought Illinois played well offensively against Purdue, but sometimes when the pressure defense, which creates turnover, also allows some breakaways and some backdoors and some cuts and drives that Illinois hasn't been able to stop. They've given up too many points now.
Yeah, and then the Illini last Sunday against Rutgers out there on the road, and Piscataway beat them 75-62, and then the Illini never left. They stayed out there in New York, New Jersey for this tournament, and they are getting ready for a 4:30 tip. You'll hear it right here on Light Rock 97.5. By the way, on our sister station, News Talk 1400, you can find the women playing right now against Penn State in the Big Ten tournament.
I will tell you that I've made a lot of trips to a lot of games, but when you go to New York City, you remember it. You remember the Madison Square Garden? It's special. There's something about New York. And this is a memorable period. I say a period because it's lasting 5, 6, 7 days. We don't know how long. But it's something that these players will remember for a lifetime.
Brad Underwood, knowing that there could be a lot of games in a lot of days, says his focus remains on today in all of the preparation.
You guys find out. I don't get too far ahead. Obviously, I have an understanding of what's in front of us if we do win. And that you have to be diligent and smart in your preparation. But I'm not thinking about what would be Michigan if we win. I'm thinking about doing everything we can all of our energies, all of our focus on Iowa. And we've got to, we've got to make sure our guys are handling the physical part of hydrating and staying fueled and getting their treatments. And that's probably the most difficult challenge, being on the road, is you lose some of your capabilities.
So the Illini are trying to figure out how they can do all this in a few days.
Well, the comforting thing when you play Iowa is, and you know this, you'll get your shots, you'll get opportunities to score, you just have to make shots. This will be an opportunity to make some threes. There's perimeter opportunities always against Iowa.
Iowa gives up, as a rule, about 37-38% to opposing three-point shooters, and it's even worse, as you would imagine, when they lose ball games. It's almost 42% in ball games that they're losing. That's a pretty good clip.
It's a characteristic of this program that goes back many years.
We're off and running here. It's the Rudy Wealth Management pregame show. See the folks at Rudy Wealth Management for all of your retirement planning and investment needs. Rudy Wealth Management, Central Illinois' retirement specialist. We'll head out to New York in just a few minutes when we return. Later on in this pregame show, Lauren and I will bring you keys to the game, and Brian Barnhart visits with assistant coach Jamal Walker for the Coach's Corner. Stay with us on Fighting Illini Game Day.
It's Fighting Illini Game Day. The Rudy Wealth Management pregame show continues on News Talk 1400 and Light Rock 97.5. Now with more, here's Scott Beatty.
Big Ten tournament this afternoon, a 4:30 tip for the Illini against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Hoping to have an afternoon game tomorrow against the Michigan Wolverines if they can get past the Hawkeyes. Madison Square Garden is the scene. Brian Barnhart is courtside. We were hoping, Brian, to find Deion Thomas, too, but I guess he got lost there in the greatest city in the world, right?
Well, no. He's making his way through what they call Gate B, which is where all the media comes in, but it just takes a while to get through it. You got to jump through a few hoops to get in the greatest arena in the world. So maybe they have the tightest security in the world, huh?
Well, what's the scene for looking like there for day one? Obviously, we're still more than an hour away from tip-off for the first game, but folks are wondering about the attendance and what kind of scene this will be given that this is in New York City.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I talked to a gentleman in the hotel lobby who is from New York City, and he was like, hey, I hear the, in his accent, New York accent, the Big Ten is here. You guys will enjoy it. There's a lot of alums from all the different schools out in this part of the country. So he was excited about getting a chance to go. And we'll see. I don't know how many people will make the trek from, say, Champaign or from Iowa City or wherever out here. Some of the, Michigan State fans, I'm sure, will come. All the teams that are the top seeds for the most part. But, there are a lot of people, obviously, in this town who are alums of the Big Ten schools, and we'll see how many show up. Now, this first day, probably not a good barometer because it's the very first day of the tournament, but I was surprised last year in D.C. It kind of built as time went on, as we got closer to the finish line.
Have you seen a lot of orange and blue? Have there been events for the Illini this week?
Yeah, there's actually an event going on right now. Alumni Association's holding an event up the street, which is where Deion has been the last few minutes, and so I know several people were going to that, and the tickets are pretty inexpensive. They let everybody come in as far as sitting down close. You can get a pretty good seat pretty close here on this first day. So we'll see what the mix is. Right now you just have a lot of TV folks, Big Ten officials all kind of meeting and going over, here's where this is, here's what pass is allowed to go here. We've got a little camera that BTN put in place that is sliding back and forth in front of us. They're testing out their camera at floor level to see how it works. So a lot of the preliminary work being done as they get ready to start the first game. It's interesting because they've had on the videos different things relating to New York. Like they asked Brad Underwood, name the five boroughs of New York City. So he was trying to do that. And what's your favorite pizza? And he didn't know if Springsteen was from New York or from New Jersey. But it was kind of fun. They're doing some fun things like that on the big board, testing it out.
Well, you've talked to Underwood. How are they going to bring Bohannon in under control and also Cook and Garza inside? What is his strategy, do you think?
Well, the overall thing is they just got to do a better job defensively. They thought they broke down so many ways, in the first game against Cook and against Bohannon. Trying to limit Bohannon to getting to the free throw line is the big thing. If you remember, Lauren, he was in the game. He never missed. And they shot 40 free throws, so they definitely don't want to do that, put him at the line, which is where he scores so much. And then, you know, Cook's a load. He can, you know, he can score from different places and obviously wasn't what honorable mention, all Big Ten. So, yeah, I don't know if they've, you know, the biggest thing is they were just so poor defensively. He just, I think anything they do will be an improvement.
Yeah, I know it's in his discussion about Lucas. I would say I could see him playing quite a bit in this game, dead up against Bohannon, or maybe he'll let Allstark try, or maybe he'll alternate those two guys against him. What do you think?
I would think so. Yeah, I'd agree with that. And Tijon's been playing really well on both ends. He's been getting rebounds. He's been getting assists. You're right, he didn't play in the first game, and now he's found his role in this offense, that drive to the basket, circle underneath, kick it back out to the corners, and he's been doing a better job of getting the team to that third side, if you will, that third angle for the open shot. So, you know, he didn't play. And if you remember, Lauren and Scott, LaRon was sick. He scored double figures in that game, but he was having trouble out there during the course of the game. So those are two things they're kind of counting on to be differently. And I would also say the offense has grown a lot since then. It was where it was a stick figure type spread offense early in the year. They were learning the basics. Now they're starting to flesh it out. When teams take this away, mm-hmm. Hey, they counter with something else. They've been getting a lot more layups here lately.
And how about Mark Smith? Coach said yesterday he's likely to be in uniform today. Have you seen him? Does he look like he is close to 100%?
Yeah, Coach told me he'll get some minutes today. He looks a lot better. He did not look good when he got on the plane coming out here, Saturday, I guess, to New Jersey. He didn't look good at all, but he looks a lot better. He has been practicing a little more each day. In fact, guys, they practiced Brooklyn Nets practice facility over in Brooklyn. It took about an hour to get there, but they did practice over there. They practiced at a Baruch University, Baruch just up the road from the hotel, and practiced at NYU a couple of days ago. So they could not get on the floor here at Madison Square Garden, but they have been practicing, and Mark's been practicing a little more every day.
All right. Well, hey, we'll let you get stretched out because we're coming back to you at the bottom of the hour, and hopefully Dion's not a security threat, and he'll get in there soon enough as well.
Well, they got in the first time, then he went back out, so he has to come back through again.
Well,
so.
He's a popular guy. That's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah, he is.
So. All right, Brian, have a great call, and hopefully there are a few more for you this week as well.
All right, very good. I plan to stay a while. Hopefully, if more than one or two days, it'd be nice to make a little run.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. That's Brian Barnhart from Madison Square Garden, Illinois and Iowa, 13 against 12 in the Big Ten tournament first round. The Illini trying to play as long as they can through to Sunday in the championship game. The winner tomorrow of this game will play Michigan, and that game will tip approximately 1:30, they say, 25 minutes after game one, which tips at 11 a.m. tomorrow. That's Wisconsin and Maryland. So on average, that would be about 1:30.
Just one more touch of encouragement. The teams that have a game under their belt usually have a pretty good start in the second game against a team that's been waiting for them. We noticed that over the years.
Good point. We'll come back with our keys to the game in just a moment. Also, Brian will have the Coach's Corner with Jamal Walker.
It's Fighting Illini Game Day. The Rudy Wealth Management pregame show continues on News Talk 1400 and Light Rock 97.5. Here again, Scott Beatty.
Believe it or not, Illinois third most all-time in Big Ten tournament victories with 27. The tournament history runs back to 1999. That year, the Illini rattled off three straight wins under Lon Kruger and fell then against Michigan State 67-50.
All three teams they beat were ranked in the top 25.
Exactly. Minnesota, Indiana, and Ohio State.
Right. And the Indiana game, that was, I believe that was the last shot game, I think.
The next year they lost to Michigan State again, and that was the year Michigan State went on to win it all, right? 2000. So that was right in the first heyday, the first go-around of Tom Izzo's putting Michigan State on the map.
Yeah, Michigan State's been a problem ever since.
Our keys to the game is Illinois will take on Iowa in just a little bit, are brought to you by Hickory Point Bank and Champaign, the unlimited value of the right team. One banking expert steers you in the right direction. A whole team of them takes you to your destination. Hickory Point Bank Invested, also brought to you by the Pella Window
if
Store.
If you let the other team make 20 more free throws than you make, you're going to lose. That's a pretty good likelihood. So Illinois, which gave up 33 free throws in the game against Iowa before, gave up that many. You can't do that. They got to play without fouling. They must play without fouling. Play sound defense, guard the basket. If Bohannon goes crazy, well, that's just your bad luck, but you got to stick a guy on him and hope that you can avoid the fouls.
I think Cook, you know, is going to be Cook, but I think if you shut down, at least minimize Cook a little bit, or shut down Garza, keep him off the boards a little bit, I think you got yourself a good chance. I don't know why. I got a good feeling about this. I think this is a win today for Illinois.
Yeah, I have a good feeling too. And Scott Ritchie picked Illinois to win. What do you think of that?
He did, and he's got a good record this year too. He's only been wrong seven times.
That's right, 24-7.
So we'll see how this all goes. It's really a toss-up game. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised for a victory for either one, but I think Illinois, they've been playing well. The only thing is Iowa's been pretty good on offense lately. Their last few losses have all been pretty close games, so the Illini are going to have to contain them a little bit.
Yeah, and they really broke out against Northwestern. You mentioned that it was a 77-70 game, but they led by more than 20. That was a game that Northwestern came back on them late, too late.
Those are our keys to the game, brought to you by the Pella Window Store. For all your window and door needs, visit the Pella Window Store on Country Fair Drive, or go to PellaOfChampaign.com and by Hickory Point Bank in Champaign as well. The Illini women counterpart leading Penn State after one quarter in the Big Ten tournament. They're up 18-15. Brandi Beasley and Alex Whittinger with 8 points apiece as well. That's on our sister station, like Newstalk 1400. The Coach's Corner when we come back. Brian Barnhart talks to Jamal Walker as Illinois gets ready for Iowa in the Big Ten tournament. Time now for the Coach's Corner as Illinois and Iowa are coming up in the Big Ten Tournament, the first round. Brian Barnhart talking with Jamal Walker, and it's brought to us by Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign and Hickory Point Bank. Here's Brian with Jamal.
The start of the Big Ten Tournament here in New York City. Jamal Walker joins us as we get ready for the ball game here today. And finally, good to be at it. We've been here a couple of days. Sounds like everything's gone well.
Yeah, everything's going really well. We've had a couple of good days of prep, and we're really looking forward to getting out and playing in what we consider the mecca of all of college all of basketball in general, the Madison Square Garden. So it's fun to be here in New York City. Definitely a unique place to play in the Big Ten, but we embrace it and we look forward to it.
Well, for older guys, I'm older than you, but for older guys, we all know the Michael Jordan and the Knicks and all the great teams that have played there. And for these younger guys, they know about Madison Square Garden too.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I think if you're a basketball historian, you understand the significance of playing in Madison Square Garden, the teams, the players, individual players. A lot of significant things have happened here. It's really cool that I have an opportunity to play here.
Yeah, a lot of other things too, boxing matches and so forth. Yeah, but great sports history. Well, let's get to the game today. I know played Iowa back in early January. The two teams, I think, are a little different since then.
Yeah, I mean, I think both teams have improved. You have a bunch of both teams have guys that are younger, and we're trying to gel cohesively at that time. And I thought we didn't play a great game. We got a 20-point lead in spite of that, and I think we learned a lot in that game. We learned we got to learn to finish, and we've kind of got a little bit better at that, and we got to continue to get better at that. But I think both teams are really improved. I think you're going to see two different teams than what you see in that January game.
Well, it's interesting because a couple of things happened in that first game. One is Trent had kind of a breakout game that kind of got everybody's attention with the 27 and the string of three-pointers. But also you get into a running game with Iowa, it's easy, you know, go up and down, you forget about playing defense a little
bit. Yeah, I think at that time, I think teams were trying to play defense. It was just that they were unsuccessful at it. Both teams are, like I said, improved since then. I don't think you're going to see the same team on both sides in that January game. So I think both coaches have done a good job of trying to find their identity. I think really Iowa got a really good win at home against Northwestern, where Bohannon knocked down eight threes, and I give tribute to him. That was a pretty cool deal that he did to keep Chris Street in the record books. So that was, give a shout out to him on that.
Very classy move on his part, and a guy that can score. He scored the free throw line. He makes all his free throws. He hurt us in that first game.
Yeah, he got to the line 10 times. I mean, he's a 95% free throw shooter. He's an excellent three-point shooter off the catch and bounce. I think he's kind of the head of the snake, kind of, if you will, of their team. And We got to do a better job on him. He had 29 points, and then Tyler Cook was outstanding in their game with a double-double and 21 points and 13 rebounds. And then Luke Garza, who was a freshman, had a breakout game. He had 7 offensive rebounds and really had some timely offensive rebounds and putbacks and finishes. So, but again, like I said, I think we're going to make the adjustments necessary from game one to game two, and you're going to see two teams that are vastly different.
We'll take a break. Back with Jamal Walker here in the Big Apple, New York City, after this timeout on the Coach's Corner. Well, as we visit here with Jamal Walker on the Coach's Corner here from Madison Square Garden, Tyler Cook, when you've watched him play, what do you like about him?
Yeah, you know, I like his versatility. I like that he can handle the ball in open court. He's not just a block player. He has an ability to step out and drive the basketball from out on the perimeter. He's a really, really excellent offensive rebounder. He's got amazing, amazing hands. He's got good feet for a guy that size. He's got explosive athleticism. There's not a lot of things that I don't like about Tyler Cook.
Yeah. How have they changed a little bit, a little more consistent play from their bench, or what's changed for them?
Well, I think they've had some opportunities for their bench players to do some things, but I think the consistency of their starting five has become a little bit more consistent. I think Bohannon's became more consistent. I think Cook has become more consistent. I think Isaiah Moss has played really, really well. Where they've just struggled a little bit from time to time is on the defensive end of the floor, and they've had some turnovers and so forth that have been. But they play some really good basketball at times, and sometimes just because you play good basketball, they don't always equate the win.
Fran McCaffrey, a guy that is known, he's changed defenses along the way. Do you expect some zone today, maybe
Absolutely.
More zone than usual?
Absolutely. More zone than probably the games we've normally played to this point. I think they played some 2-3 zone. They've shown that they play 1-3-1 zone. They'll play their 1-2-2 back to man-to-man. They'll play 1-2-2 and their full-court press back to zone as well. So I think Fran's done a really good job of trying to change up defenses on teams and trying to see, I guess, what works and what teams will struggle with to try to get teams out of rhythm. And we can't allow that to happen. We got to really continue to move the ball if they're in man or zone and really take our opportunities when they're there.
Mm-hmm. Give me a couple of key stats at the end of the game that'll say, hey, we did this well. This is how we won the game.
This is the same old stat, it seems like, rebounding. I mean, they out-rebounded us, and I mean they got 55% of their shot attempts back, I mean, which is ungodly. You can't win games when you give teams opportunities to get their rebounds back and have opportunities for second opportunities to score the basketball. So that's going to be a big one right there. And then the second one I would probably say, transition points. I think both teams like to run. I think both teams like to get out on the open floor. I think they're going to see a fun, entertaining game from a fan's perspective. So I think transition points. Who can get easy baskets, free throws, offensive rebounds, and then transition?
Yeah, probably not 100 points, though. Not like last time.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, you don't know. I mean, we're going to play. I think both teams are going to play up and down. I do. I think it's going to be a fun, entertaining game. And we got, like I said, the team that's going to win those three areas of or not win them so much, but just do well in them and not get like we were plus 22, or I think it was plus 22. They beat us on the glass in game one. That can't happen. And we got to do a good job in not putting them on the line. Offensive rebounding and transition.
All right. Jamal, tournament time is always fun. Win or go home. So let's win and let's stay.
Let's win. Like New York City, that's
All
for
right.
sure.
All right. That's Jamal Walker with the Scout on the Coach's Corner here from the Big Ten Tournament against Iowa.
Thanks much, Brian and Jamal. Coach's Corner brought to you by Hickory Point Bank and Scotty's Brewhouse. I'm Scott Beatty. I'm coming back with you after this ball game for the Fasteners, Etc. post-game show. Matt McCumber will join me as well. We'll break it all down. Talk about either way, whether it's the final ball game of the year or if the Illini will live to see another day. It's survive in advance time for Illinois. They're trying to get into March with this condensed schedule. Going back out to New York City and the greatest arena in the world, Madison Square Garden for the Illini and Iowa. Brian and Dion will take you from here. You're listening to Light Rock 97.5 WHMS, Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station.